Ben Moore has been in love with bees for as long as anyone can remember. And as far as we can tell, the feeling is entirely mutual. Although he still sometimes feels the sting of his passion. Hang around, learn a little. It's as sweet as honey and always a buzz. It's the Ultimate Pollinators Podcast with Ben, his friends and associates, and of course, Ben's bees.
Hey, John, how you doing? I'm super excited to have you on.
Thank you, Ben. Yeah, lovely to join you. My first ever podcast, so looking forward to it, mate.
Yeah, this is awesome. So, everyone, we've got John MacArthur from Banana Feeds Australia. Now, we're going to be talking about an amazing product and very, very interesting because a lot of beekeepers know about, obviously, you know, bananas can make the bees possibly edgy. There's a bit of different rules of thought there, but we've got a special feed. So tell us all about it, John. How did it all start?
Well, Ben, it's been an awesome journey, to be honest. When we first, so there's myself and my business partner, Robert Posado. As it turns out, 1 week prior to the COVID restrictions coming into play, we launched our business whereby we built a factory up in Cairns where we take what is the downgraded product essentially that would normally go to Coles and Woolworths. And we were trying to find, you know, my business partner's a third generation banana grower. He and I worked together for some sort of 15 years together. And we were both quite, sick of seeing high quality product ending up downgraded because it wasn't meeting the human specifications. So we sort of decided that we would look further afield to find alternative uses and to value add this product that has cost so much money to grow. So we actually ended up starting by investigating different species. And we've started looking at equine to begin with, okay. Just because we both had a bit of a passion for that. And what we found is that there was no research anywhere in Australia about dry green bananas and its application to a variety of different species. We found some interesting research models on reducing ulceration in rats, but that's not a particularly sexy discussion point when you're talking about million-dollar racehorses and dressage and show jumping horses. So we also found that it was really good at reducing the mortality rate of weanling piglets, which, again, wasn't particularly interesting given the field that we were trying to work in. And we also found that it was really good in the prevention of mastitis on dairy cattle. So what we ended up doing is we engaged a group, and I'm not sure whether you've heard of it, Ben, but it's the Fight Food Waste. A CRC, yep. And basically we had some match funding from the CRC to do a research project with the University of Adelaide down here. And what we were trying to do is understand the product and the potential benefits it would bring to not only equine but other species as well. But this one was particularly, focused on equine. And with that $100,000 project that we ended up putting together, we analysed the product. So we put it through the laboratories, the South Australian Research Development Institute. They did all the aminos and they did all the polyphenols and the flavonoid analysis, the sugar content and all those sort of things. So once we sort of understood our product pretty well, the factory was completed. We brought a lot of equipment in from overseas because it wasn't available here in Australia. And we set about trying to take a green banana that had been potentially, downgraded through slight skin markings, wrong shape, too fat, singles, whatever the case might be, and turn it into a product that we knew had application. But we, at that particular point, we were still, on the early phases of understanding which species it would be best suited for. So
how long ago was
that
this,
was pretty.
Sorry, John, how long ago was this?
So we did that in 2019, okay. Towards the end of 2019.
Okay, yep.
And we commercially launched our business in, February, which okay. was literally 1 week before the COVID restrictions okay. yep. came in. So when you're dealing with a world-first product, and it hasn't been done before anywhere else, so when you're dealing with a product that you're trying to get out and tell people about for the first time, travel is pretty important. And unfortunately, we couldn't actually travel. So we had some reps who were, in each state, and they weren't able to go out and see customers. Robert, myself, as two business partners, didn't actually see each other for the first 12 months. So that was a challenge in itself. But lo and behold, we started, it sort of spread a little bit like coronavirus, to be perfectly honest. Okay. We started in the equine market, yes, and we put some product out into the market, and it just took off. So that was fantastic. And then, so the equine product was where we first commenced, and we've now had, you know, some fantastic results in that market. We have, you know, we've had Blue Diamond State winners. We've had some, you know, wow, it's been a great result. And then we had some canine owners, some greyhound trainers, and some big breeders who were walking out with our horse product because they understood the benefits of the product and what it can do for gut health. So we ended up introducing a canine product. And that's been going exceptionally well as well. So if anyone out there has a dog, Green Banana, our supplement, honestly, it's quite transformational as to what it can do for the gut health of dogs, and improving their coat health and their gut health. And also, you know, if they've got any skin ailments or, you know, if they're a little bit anxiety, you know, bit anxious, it can certainly help with that as well. And that all comes back to, you know, I'll come back to the reasons why that has helped those species. But then getting on to the important part about the bees, we were sitting there concentrating on our equine and our canine, and we had a phone call and a bit of a connection with a company down in Tasmania, Stevens Apiaries. Yes,
everyone knows him.
And that had some history with green bananas, putting them in the bottom of hives, not quite understanding, you know, the mechanisms of why it was working, but it seemed to have a benefit for them. So they asked us to produce our product. Comes probably more like a muesli consistency for the equine, because they like to chew on it and it helps them with their you know, developing the salivary reactions and all the rest of it. But they asked us to put some into a powder, which we duly did. And we sent some down to them, and, you know, as a third generational sort of, you know, very professional outfit, the feedback they gave us just was quite overwhelming. And that led us to think, right, we need to do a little bit more work in this. So it was sort of a product that was, I suppose, born from the industry, with the probably not the depth of understanding as to why it would work. But certainly, the feedback was just phenomenal as far as, you know, the reduction of chalk brood, but also just colony health and strength. And, you know, to be honest, their reports were they used it on their weakest performing hives, and those hives actually ended up being some of their better performing hives. So we were pretty buoyed by that sort of feedback, particularly because they're such a, you know, a well-regarded business, been doing it a long time. And then we were flat out, we're only a small business, so we were flat out doing our equine and our canine development, it sort of spread, and then the next person heard about it, and then the next person heard about it.
Awesome.
And before we knew it, we had inquiries from Canada over in the canola fields over there about the opportunity to potentially export this product further afield. And so we got a little bit more serious about it, and we certainly undertook some desktop studies, tried to find out what there was out there in the field, and we, you know, again, very limited information out there, but we did come across a couple of papers. I think one was a Korean paper, and another one was from the States, and they sort of delved a little bit deeper into some of the potential modes of activity that was creating this benefit in the hives. And from there we sort of went and spoke to a couple of, probably, you know, we like to deal with really professional and very, you know, well-regarded individuals in any industry we deal with. Yep. So I went and spoke to a gentleman by the name of Trevor Monson. Trevor's well-regarded, and we took a sample up there, and I actually left it with him. And then he rang me when I'd sort of 20 minutes after I'd left. He rang me and said, "You got to come back and have a chat to me, because what I'm seeing is sort of not quite..." I can't quite believe what I'm seeing. So I went back and we had a chat, and and Trevor's been around a long time and he's seen a lot of things, but he was really quite taken aback by the activity that was going on. So I sort of started using him as a bit of a sounding board to understand what the bananas were offering, potentially his colonies. Then we've sort of done some trial work with another young fella down here in South Australia. Although our factory is actually up in Cairns, I live in South Australia.
Yes, okay.
My business partner lives in Cairns, and we sort of travel far and wide. So we're never actually in one state all the time. We're just constantly trying to move again now that we can. But a young fellow, Jake, Farquhar, he's got some hives down around that Victor Harbour area. And again, same feedback, you know, just phenomenal. Chalk root all cleaned up. And you know, I guess we then spoke to a couple of other people, spoke to a distributor because, to be perfectly honest, we're not apiaries. We yep. never have professed to be apiaries. So anyone out there who wants the real technical stuff, that's probably not my gig. But what we are finding is that sometimes it takes a business that's come from, you know, a different background to bring a new product into these sort of industries. And the same thing with the equine.
Yeah, to evolve. Yeah, look, exactly.
Absolutely. And I guess so many people work so deeply in the industry they don't have time to look outside the field, whereas both Robert and I have come from the horticultural sector and we know bananas back to front because that's all we've done.
Yes.
Yeah, we've grown them, we've marketed them, we've researched them, we've looked at, you know, alternative varieties. We've done a lot of work in that space. So when it came to developing this product, you know, we were never going to profess to be the experts. We were always going to use people within the industry to provide real-time feedback from what they've seen so that we know it's real. We didn't look for the people who would give us what we wanted to hear. We went to some of the, you know, probably the most skeptical, but also some of the most probably well-regarded and hands-on, because, again, you know, we found that with the horse industry that, you know, there are some really large trainers who don't necessarily, you know, they might have too many horses to really understand it, but the feedback we get from those who are on those horses every day, they can really see the differences. And so we figured the same philosophy we could apply to you know, the bee industry, find people who are hands-on, know their stuff, and let them use a product and see what they saw. So, you know, again, I think by doing that, it really did give us quite an amazing amount of feedback in the positive realm. And from that, we then had a chat to a distributor out of Swan Hill, and we've sort of just kept on moving forward with it. And like I said, I mean, it's gone from a little pod down in Tasmania, obviously a very important sort of group of people, and now it's spread to the mainland, and then it's spread up through to North Queensland, and it's also then, you know, I suppose spread overseas to, you know, we've got quite a large amount of interest overseas. And this has all happened in a couple of years. So, you know, we're pretty mindful that we don't have, you know, a huge number of staff. We are a small family-owned, Australian-owned business. But Be Complete is the name of our brand for our horses and our dogs, and that's Be-Complete. And then obviously with a bit of a play on words when it came to the, you know, the B product, we called it Be-Complete. And look, it's just been one of those really interesting stories, I guess. A circular economy, preventing food waste. It shows it's 100% natural. We can use it in a million-dollar racehorse, and we can use it on the most important species in the world, which is obviously bees. So
yeah, that's awesome.
That's how we started.
That's awesome. Absolutely love it, John. So I've got lots and lots of questions. We'll get stuck into sort of with the bees and so forth, and I've got a bucket here to open up and check it out. So what benefits are we seeing with horses, just out of interest?
So again, a myriad of. So we look at it as a complete well-being product. You know, there's a lot of synthetic products on the marketplace. When you go into a horse, you know, a horse supplement market, there's hundreds, literally. and it's so confusing for horse owners. It's you know, we're a big believer of keeping things simple, but also making sure they work. We're big believers in that. Sometimes simple is better. So I've had feedback in the horses from, you know, uncontrollable horses with anxiety, not being able to get into the barriers. Now, I'll talk about the benefits of the product later, but the dopamine and the serotonin, which naturally occur in the skin of the bananas, which is, you know, our product is the whole green banana. It's not just the pulp. It's actually the skin, the stems, and the pulp.
Okay.
So through the research, we found out that that dopamine and serotonin naturally occur in the skin, and it has a natural calming agent, you know, and anything you can do to reduce oxidative stress is going to be beneficial to, you know, reducing ulcerations, but also it can help, has that calming effect. So people who couldn't get the horses into barriers, all of a sudden put them on our product and they were calmer and they were not doughy, they were just more focused and they were performing once they were into the barriers. And then the coat health, you know, some of these horses just literally glow once they've been on the product. And with race horses, and I'm not a racehorse expert either, or a canine expert. I have a horse, I have a dog. I don't have a hive, but all of these sort of learnings that we've taken has all been coming back from the industry. So, coat health, you know, gut health, and basically overall temperament are the three sort of real determining factors. And then the greyhounds, it's the same sort of thing. It helps with the you know, they get a bit anxious and they get watery stools. So it helps firming up their stools. It helps with the inflammation, the joints after they've competed. The recovery seemed to be better. I mean, I had a guy who's been a greyhound trainer for, you know, forever. And he basically said to me, look, I haven't changed my diet in 13 years. I'm not going to start doing it now. And I said, look, you got nothing to lose. Take one. If it works, great. If you're going to put it in the bin, just make sure I've got my back turned before you do it, because that would be quite upsetting.
Yeah, of course, yes.
And this guy now orders, you know, we weren't making 9 kilo buckets up until, you know, now he has it, all his dogs on it, and he just can't believe the results. So the feedback has just been phenomenal on the horses and the dogs. And again, the bees just fits in beautifully with our story, because we talk about a circular economy. We talk about looking after the environment. You know, if it's sensitive enough, like I said, for $1 million racehorse, you know that it's a natural product. There's nothing else that goes into it.
How's it made, John?
Yeah.
How's it made?
Yeah. So basically, you know, we built our factory. So yep. it's a feed safe accredited factory.
Okay.
So we've got our HACCP.
Yep.
It's a beautiful factory. We sort of didn't spare any expense when we were putting it together. And essentially it's taking the green bananas from the farms. So my business owner, he's got, you know, we've both been in the industry forever. So we've got a wonderful network of growers. And our own farm, and we basically take a green banana, we wash them, we then slice them, then we then dry them, then we then mill them. So it takes a long time to get to that point, but it's a simple, safe process of taking a green banana and turning it into a dehydrated product that can be traveling, you know, all over the world without the cost of, you know, all the moisture that would normally typically be in a banana, which is, you know, let's face it, 85-90% moisture. So refining it, reducing it, and drying it, and then milling it. And the milling it, like I said, with the horses, we have it as a fine muesli. For the canines, it's a finer muesli again, because they don't like the stringy bits because of their palate, you know, preferences. And then with the bees, we actually mill it to a very fine powder.
Interesting. And so a question on their bananas. So is a green banana more nutritious than a ripe banana?
They're actually a little bit different from one another, and that's probably the thing that we spent a fair bit of time trying to educate people about, is that it's a bit like chalk and cheese.
Okay.
So, you know, essentially a ripe banana, as you can imagine, it's when the carbohydrates have started, you know, they've started to convert the carbohydrates to sugars,
yes.
Whereas, you know, we're doing that before that conversion happens. So
okay. The
sugar content is very, very low, which in some respects sort of goes against what you'd expect in the bee industry, because, you know, bees being attracted to, you know, the sugary products. This is more about the carbohydrates, and it's more about the polyphenols and the flavonoids, and it's also more about the dopamine and the serotonin. And again, our learning is always evolving. You know, I said we're not experts in this space. The more you read, the more you learn, the more you trial it in the field, you know, it just becomes abundantly clear that it's not actually the sugar content, it's the other attributes, the aminos and the amines and the polyphenol, but also the dopamine, the serotonin, and we found that in some of the research papers that we were doing too. So yeah,
that's amazing. Now I've got a bucket here in front of me that I actually I've had it for a little while and I haven't even opened it yet, so I'm looking forward. Now it's interesting, so I'll be able to describe the smells and everything. So as far as that's obviously a nice powder. It's quite, yeah, like nice and fine, and
yep.
Just sort of describing that. Now I'm gonna taste a bit.
Yeah, go for it. Look, I say to people, and this is quite the unique part about it. It's 100% natural, right?
Yeah.
So
yes.
When I go into a store, whether it be for a bee, dog, or a horse, I'll sit there and eat it. And yes. I can tell you quite now that we have a lot of people who actually spread our muesli on their own porridges.
Yes.
And again, it's not like gut health for humans is certainly not an unknown space as well. Like green bananas, if you look at some of the southern provinces of India, where they've got a huge part of green bananas in their daily diet, that actually does correlate to the fact that they've got some of the lowest rates of gastric cancers in the world. And
interesting.
Look, you know, I can't sit there and say 100% you know, with confidence. But the correlation is just too keen. When you look at the low rates of a place like the southern provinces of India compared to the Asian countries where they've got high rice diets,
okay,
it's we are what we eat. So the human side of it, there's plenty of research about green bananas being particularly good for humans. I read a paper just last week that was actually quite a really good paper about you know helping reduce the risk of cancers. Wow. Now, again, we don't say anything about that in anything that we do because we're only a small family business. We can't spend the $20 million to prove that.
Yes,
but of course. It all makes perfect sense because when you look at what the, you know, what the product's made up of, it does have the antioxidants. It does have antioxidants that are higher than predominant number of products on, you know, on the marketplace. You know, the polyphenol, the flavonoids, the dopamine, the serotonin, they all help reduce oxidative stress, and I think most people would acknowledge nowadays that that is one of the things that, you know, can lead to, you know, some of those ailments that people suffer. I mean, I had a guy in Canada who was putting it on his own, and he was actually a canola field, you know, he grew canola, and he'd had gut issues for 10 years, and he just started eating it on his own accord. We obviously tell people not to eat it because we're only feed safe accredited, yes, not food, yes, safe at the,
yeah,
moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that could potentially change very soon. And after 10 years of constant gastrointestinal issues, could not believe it after 6 days that he had actually lost a lot of the symptoms that he was having as an individual. So, yeah, that bodes well for the future too.
Oh, that's amazing. And I should mention for the listeners, that's the taste of it's quite subtle. Like, you know, I envisioned being a bit more, I guess, punchy, robust, but it's a nice, almost sort of... I was a chef by trade, so bee stem flour or chickpea flour. It's got, yep, that sort of, you know, same but different, but it's actually kind of subtle because I envisioned, yeah, being a little bit more punchy would probably be that green banana. Yeah. I think of a green banana as being almost astringent. You know, so,
yeah. Well, put it this way, you know, if you've ever stunk your teeth into a green banana, it's not, yes, the most pleasant experience. So, but we've certainly, you know, a lot of people, I guess, would have, you know, it'd be like an oaty flavor is what a lot of people describe it. It,
yes,
is quite subtle.
Yes.
You know, it's certainly not a green, you know, you'd expect to open up a lid and,
yes,
smell bananas jumping out of you, but it's probably couldn't be further from that. It's more like an oaty, nutty sort of flavor. And then when it comes to, you know, how people use it in the beer, yes, industry, we've had a lot of different people report how they use it.
Okay.
Which again for us is, you know, hard because we would love to be able to tell everyone exactly how some people use it, but there has been a bit of variation. So, you know, there's been discussions about open feeding, and the first trials we did was actually through open feeding, and again, it disappeared within 3 days of open feeding it. But, you know, I think there's a bit of a push within the industry to move, you know, in some regards into high feeding. So where we've seen a lot of real strong benefits has been people who have been sprinkling over the top of their frames rather than actually open feeding it. But again, each their own. It's really been quite interesting as to how the industry looks at any supplementation, to be perfectly honest, because again, not from the industry, I've sort of learning everything as fast as I can. But yeah, so the in-hive feeding has been really, really successful. You know, the disease pressures and those sort of things and trying to, you know, do less open feeding. It seems to be a trend that's coming from the States from what I can gather. You know, when I looked at some of the papers that I've read, you know, if you're keeping it in-hive feeding, then there is less, you know, transitioning from hive to hive. And but again, you know, the feedback was, it works both ways. You know, we've done the open feeding trials in the bottom, you know, feeding containers, and they are taking it back to their hives, and certainly the same thing with sprinkling across the top of the frames. And then again, I probably haven't explained that 100% correctly because I'm sure Jake, who he does it a slightly different way again, and he was in, you know, he actually does it in a more scientific manner than what I've just described. But yeah, it's been really interesting to learn that way.
So it's important, John, that it's actually not a pollen supplement. It's an extra that we feed the bees.
Yeah, well, there's the jury's still out, to be honest, Ben.
Okay.
You know, there's some of the, look, you know, if I look at a lot of people are looking at supplementation for, you know, off seasons. You know, there's been a lot of people suggesting that this should be done all year round. There are some people who will do it in the lead up to the season. I've got to admit, there's been a number of different trains of thought as to how to do it and when to do it. And that's what we're still working on. But okay. The guys who we know are having success, they are using it all year round. They are doing in-high feeding. But typically, they're trying to strengthen these colonies before they go out to battle, I guess. So.
Yeah, okay. That's very interesting. Because I was talking to Ben Joyce at New Plus, but now I'm going to put New Plus in the show notes because that's the distributor. So if you're a beekeeper and you want to try this product, go to newplus.com.au. It's NUPLAS, if I remember right. But I'll put it in the show notes so people can find it. But yeah, so he was talking to him, and I was under the impression when I first heard about the product and that it was a pollen supplement. But he was sort of saying it's actually another supplement to actually feed the bees. And we're talking about that and the great success that beekeepers are having, especially probably more if you're a beekeeper, you know, on more monofloral type crops where there is a lack of nutrition. Or who knows, if you're a hobbyist beekeeper, so for those listeners, and something's happened to your hive, it could be, you know, it's got good diversity of pollen and things, that something's happening in your hive, it's maybe queenless, you know what I mean, to give it a little bit of a boost. So definitely, and I'm looking forward to trying it to actually see. So last question, John, what about any negative aspects? Have you said, like, say, maybe African small hive beetle would be one that's sort of the first one? Are they attracted to that, or do we know much about it? Or is there any other issues? Can it go mouldy in the hive or anything like that?
No, look, I can be, you know, really clear with all your listeners. I have heard nothing but good feedback. Again, Newplus we took on as a distributor because, again, you know, we're only a small team and we didn't want to be playing in the space where the experts are better at handling all those inquiries, and they've got a greater, you know, number of beekeepers that they can refer to. We sell it online, and I guess, Ben, you know, our online sales are quite phenomenal because, again, we've done no marketing. The people who have bought it, they all repeat purchase, which is wonderful. So we've got people who start on their little 3 kilo on our online store, and then they go to the 11 kilo, and then they buy 3 of the 11 kilos. So it's sort of one of those things that Newplus are a distributor. They have the product available. We always have the product available. We always ensure that when we bring a product to market that we're not going to let people down. But, yeah, the supplementation, going back to the supplementation in the feed, it is interesting. It really is interesting because, you know, if I look at the papers that came from Korea, they talk about, being a substitute potentially for pollen. But then when we first did this, we were probably looking just more at the ability to reduce fungal chalk root.
Okay.
It was really kicking the hives into some sort of hygienic activity. And those hives that were struggling with chalk root within days and weeks were transformed. So, but then when we started doing more research, it definitely started to show that there was potentially a lot more attributes that we didn't know about. So yeah, it's been kind of cool.
It's absolutely awesome. So your website for people wanting to check it out is bananafeedsaustralia.com.
Yep. That's right. So there's no AU. Bananafeedsaustralia.com and then /shop if you want to go and have a look at it in our shop. But also Newplus, like I said, you know, we partner with, you know, distributors. That's what we do with our equine products. So, you know, we use some big national distributors for us, Air, Eastern's distributors, and also Nature's Harvest in South Australia. And when it came to the bees, we wanted to make sure that we had the right distribution network. So Newplus out there at Swan Hill, Ben Joyce is certainly a good person to get in contact with. And for those who just want to go and give it a buy and try, then we've obviously got our online store as well too, Ben.
That's awesome. Well, John, thank you so much for your time. And it's absolutely fantastic to see an Australian-made product that's sustainably produced and absolutely excited. I'm excited to use it. So for those listeners, I'll keep you posted. I'll put it on my socials that I'm giving it a crack, and I'll really look forward to it. Very exciting.
Awesome. No, look, it's been a pleasure, Ben, and really appreciate you reaching out, and yeah, if any listeners have got any inquiries, I think pretty much my mobile number's on the back of every single packaging that we ever produce, which I don't know whether it's a good idea, but yeah, phone calls, all sorts of weird hours of the night.
Yes.
But no, look, by all means, we're here to help anyone. So, which is a small family-owned business that are doing something pretty unique in the world, to be honest. And, you know, we've had a lot of support from the government, I've got to be honest.
Department
of Treasury and Investment in Queensland have certainly helped us open up some of the export markets. But, you know, it's just us and we're a small team, so feel free to reach out to us.
Awesome. Thank you so much, John. Really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks, Ben.
Take care.
See you, bud.
Bye.
Ciao.
Thank you so much, John. That was an absolute awesome episode talking about bananas, because a lot of us heard about bananas. Now, I don't know if the jury's out, and I'd love if you're a listener to shoot me through a message. You know, if you're eating a banana in front of your hive, does it make the bees angry? Now, there's a bit of research has gone into this one. I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, to be honest, I'm happy, you know, in me jocks, munching on a banana in front of a hive with no worries at all. I'm not worried about the bees. But anyway, some people say no, they go crazy. So very interesting. But that was awesome. John, thank you so much for your time in regards to that. And what an awesome product. Being Australian made, sustainably produced, and what they're doing, you know, it's absolutely awesome. And I'm looking forward. I've had this bucket for some time now, and it was funny. I was like, somehow from another contact, they said, oh, we should talk to John from the company Banana Feeds Australia, and just to hear about it. So really, really cool. So now I've heard, probably how I would apply it or will apply it is I'll try to sprinkle some on the frames for the bees to munch on. I think that would be the best sort of thing. And once again, I'll experiment. You know, there's instructions are on the bucket, so there's some really good information there. But we'll give it a go and sort of see. I'll do a couple of hives with, some without, and we'll see that benefit. So now don't forget, if you want to hear someone, a podcast on a special subject, reach out. Send me a text message, 0437-077-92, or if you're abroad, we've got a few people. We've got mostly Aussies are listening to the podcast. We're not far from 90,000 plays, which is really, really cool. But if you're abroad, +61 437-077-92, you can text me on that number. And once again, I really appreciate everyone listening to the podcast. Really super duper do. And until next time, don't forget, take care of yourself, take care of each other, and take care of those bees. Bye for now.